This episode, Football 301, Charles McDonald, Mr. Four Verts, joins me to recap Week 14. We start with Sunday Night Football, a fun Texans-Chiefs game. Is the dynasty over? Not sure, but the Texans sure look good. We also do three highs, three lows. Packers take control of the NFC North, beat the Bears. Bills, fun game in the snow. Jags, Colts. What's going on with the Bucks and Ravens? Bunch of other stuff on three highs, three lows. Very fun show with Chuck. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I am your host, Nate Tice. I'm with Charles McDonald, and we're coming to you right after Sunday Night Football. It's time for the late hit. Yes, the late hit. Texans win 20-10 over the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Sunday Night Football, the Texans are basically a 87% chance to make the playoffs now, and the Chiefs fall to a 15% chance currently in the 10 seed. Chuck, good to see you again after we had our little live recap show of Week 14. Good to see you. What did you think about that game?
Wow. There's so many places to go from wow, that Texas defense is ridiculous to wow, free Patrick Mahomes, because it's going to get lost to time. Like, the box score is going to be what stands the tallest, and you're just going to see that, but just really let down by the receivers today. Rashee Rice, that might be the worst game I've seen him play. Maybe his whole career. Like, it just plays that he has made before didn't finish. And then Kelce at the end, the two drops on the targets, the last one leading to the interception that iced it. I think it was more Texans defense being good, but man, there were spots that they could have that they could have converted some stuff, and they didn't. And I think that's really disappointing for the Chiefs, because up until like this game, the supporting cast has been a lot better than last year, but it just kind of ran to be too much, and can't get over your own mistakes against defense like this.
Yeah, it was. So the Texans have been kind of crescendoing maybe a little bit on offense. Yeah. And their defense, though, is just such a gigantic needle mover. So you're going against this Chiefs team that is just like, it feels flawed, even though like the underlying numbers we point out, we're like, hey, the offense does this, the offense does that. And it just, you feel this, the difference in tonight, in a game like tonight, and you feel how slow the offense feels. Yes, they're missing both their tackles. That has to be said. And God, now you say Frank Caliendo. So I want to say Frank Caliendo. Mike Caliendo is that guard. Really,
Mike Caliendo.
He's doing his best impression of a right guard. And so we have that going on that Chiefs offense where Noah Gray is getting important targets. And then so it's like, all right, well, it has to be 75-80% Travis Kelce, who had two drops at the end there. And it's just, you know, he's 36. He's my age. You know, that's just how it is these days. and Rashee Rice, though, has to be an important player. And Xavier Worthy have to be important players. Like, they have to move the needles. Like, somebody has to create something. And you can just feel the frustration. Like, I do want to talk about the Texans and just like how good they look. I mean, we talk about later in the show, or we talked about earlier, I guess, you know, time warp of these shows, is that the AFC is just so flawed. And so if you just have a supernova unit like the Texans have on that defense, it's like, hold, like, that's as good of a chance as anybody. But with the Chiefs, though, it's just watching this team, it just, the defense, we mentioned on a pregame show or the preview show, just like, the blitzing isn't working. Their strengths aren't their strength anymore. They're missing chances. They're missing the fourth downs. They're having drops. The deep ball of Tyquan Thornton just doesn't happen. They're allowing third downs on defense. They're just not the same kind of team that has just that over the top talent or over the top something, I guess. You know, like Mahomes is doing all he can, but Travis Kelce is not what he was. And Chris Jones, I think the best summary of Chris Jones is he absolutely dominated Ed Ingram, but then he just couldn't finish. And then like CJ Stroud's getting escaping and making a couple of good throws and everything. But it was just, you know, they just feel just like a truly shell of their former selves, even though they're still like pretty good, but they're not what they were, anywhere close to anywhere what they were.
If you're walking into that game against that defense with two backup tackles, it's going to be tough. Like, I mean, they only got them on the ground twice. And I really think it was a lot of affected,
you know, like just a lot of like,
yes, a lot of affected,
you know, just like his arm was getting hit and he's just missing off. And yeah.
And he still gave them like a pretty good chance to survive against that onslaught. Always. Like the numbers are the numbers and that's going to get lost. But like, man, that was a heavyweight matchup between Mahomes and Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson, like that's what we come here for,
might
man.
Well,
and
might as well merge them. Might as well merge them. They're two headed monsters. Yeah,
I was like, close enough. But watching those three kind of interact with each other and how that changed the game was really cool to see. And then even you even had plays where like Mahomes staying alive versus pressure and guys are just dropping the balls. Like, man, he's still giving you as good a chance as you could have in those circumstances, and just couldn't close. So
yeah,
it's tough because I'm like, man, on one hand, I really would not expect the Chiefs supporting cast like to have a game that like critically bad again. But shit, you're 6-7 now.
Yeah, I mean
6-7 now. Like you need to win out basically.
1 in 10 chance to make the playoffs. 15% chance.
They need to win out.
I mean, they need help. I thought the sequence that kind of was like, and it kind of just was kind of like indicative of everything what's kind of going on, was the 4th and 4, and they had to burn a timeout. The Chiefs did, even though they definitely won all three timeouts with 5:30 left at their own 41. And I think Andy Reid said no, like, no, we're not going for it. And then Mahomes wouldn't come off the field. And he was like, give me a play. And so they had to burn a timeout there.
I'm not going.
And that was right before. Yeah, basically, that's what he did. He was like, I'm not going. I mean, yeah, it's just like my 3-year-old. And then Rashee Rice dropped off. That was the play he dropped over the middle of the field. And I was just like, man, that's not good vibes right there. He's, waving the pitch and waving, not coming off the field. And then they have to burn a timeout. You could see them panicking. They come together. They're kind of like, all right, here, let's figure this out. All right. But also, just talking about like the Chiefs, like Rice has to be very good to like for this to work. Cause I just don't think anybody else on this roster can have the effect that he has on this game. But today is like the difference between what a truly elite unit going against a pretty good unit. Again, hurt tackles. Mahomes, when he wasn't blitzed, that's what's so powerful about with the Texans defense. They don't have to blitz, and they can play man coverage down after down. Mahomes went 12 of 27, 3 picks, 19.8 passer rating when he was not blitzed. He was sacked twice, pressured 15 times when the Texans did not blitz. And he was 0 for 3 when they did blitz, so it didn't really matter. But Mahomes versus man coverage was 6-16, 94 yards, sacked twice. He was pressured 12 of 18 dropbacks against man coverage. It's just no one could win. So he's trying to and then he would step up. And then here comes one of the demons looping around and hitting his arm. And it felt like it was just deja vu. It was just like the same sequence happening, and the ball would flutter over to usually to the left or something. And yeah, I mean, the Texans can just throw those guys at you, and the DBs as well. And they make plays on the ball, and they have 3 picks. I mean, I actually think Collinsworth brought up a great point. They don't drop those opportunities. They get a lot of hands on the balls, and then they come down with the ball.
Yeah.
It's just the last year interception was incredible. Great. That was just a great play too.
And the pass breakup he had on Tyquan Thornton, punched it out of his hands.
Yeah.
Almost should have been. Oh, Tyquan, man, you got to catch that one, bro. You got to get strong, man. You got to catch that
one. We've mentioned so much Tyquan Thornton. You got to come down with us.
You got to catch that one. I mean, it's just, that was, to me, that was one of those receivers get paid too. Come on, earn your keep out. Fight out. Right. Get fight there. It's right in your hands. And it's an incredible play by Lassiter. But man, if the Chiefs are going to get out here, you got to convert those plays. Like, it's right in the breadbasket. My Hail Mary, I had a few close ones today. The Tyquan Thornton, if he had held onto that one, that would have hit for a Hail Mary. And then there was like a 35-yard pass. I don't remember. I think it was to Hollywood that he slipped on. I'm like, damn it, just keep running. That would have been the 50. That would have been the 50 I needed.
I know.
And then there was a Mahomes scramble under pressure, and he ducked out of bounds, and he could have kept going. Yes. I was like, God, dude, so close. So close. And they, but it does – it was interesting to see it play out, because like they do get pressure so fast sometimes that
so fast.
Like things just break down everywhere for offense and defense. Yep. You can kind of find something on the back end, but ultimately you're okay living playing like that because you get to absolutely savage offenses. You'll live with those explosive plays because most of the time it's not happening.
That's it. Do it again. That's what they just basically say. They just say, yeah, you might get us once, but do it again. The other side of the ball, I thought it was interesting. I liked, you know, the Texans offensive line has been improved, and this is what we keep talking about. And I even did a video on them. It's like, you know, but they're like below average. And tonight you could feel like, I was like, man, Ed Ingram's been playing better than the worst guard in football. I bet you they put Chris Jones over him. And boy, did they put Chris Jones over him. he had a very long night against Chris Jones, but Chris Jones couldn't finish on him. But then they kept blitzing and they did like a sequence coming back from commercial. I mean, I'll look at it all 22, but you know, we go live right after, is that all the blitzes were just protection beaters, like one after another. It was a Spags clinic in the second half. Stroud versus Bliss tonight, 5 of 13, 78 yards, pressured 11 times, one sack. He was pressured 19 times, 11. Yeah. And they, I mean, it was like a clinic tape of like, how do you beat this? You know, I'm not getting too nerdy into it, but like, there's different 6-man protections if you're in 3x1 or 2x2, or different stuff hurts it. And it was like, all right, they show 2x2, and then here comes the blitz from each side, like a saw. And it was like, the next play, 3x1, okay. And then here comes like an overload sort of running back side. And I was just like, Spags was like, okay, you guys are improved with that protection scheme, but I'm going to show you some real stuff. And it was just like, yeah, let's see you 301. Like, let's see you answer this exam. It was like, it was pretty funny because they showed a sequence of all the pressure it was getting. But I definitely felt on that side of the ball too.
Oh, also, the marks. Woody Marks touchdown on the check down. Not sure if that was designed or not, or what happened there, but I've been trying to figure it out. So they had five across. Nick Bolton was over the left guard, I think. And I wasn't sure if the Texans, they were doing what's called a 5-0, where the linemen have the five guys across from them and Marks would have anybody else that came, or if there was a slide and then that would make Bolton Marks' guy. The offensive line acts like it's a slide. Marks kind of just runs right past Bolton. So I have no idea. But if it was like a fake block to get the green dog, and a green dog is when the defender, whoever his coverage assignment is, if that guy blocks, then they add on as a blitzer, the green dog. Not sure if it was like a fake of the green dog or if he just ran right by him, but anyways, ended up in a touchdown. Stroud found him.
Yeah. Fun game.
It was.
The entertainment, you know, selfish part of my brain, I still want to see the Chiefs get in there because I would like to see if they could just gut out another run.
Right.
Man, like, you just got to get healthy. You got to get healthy. Yeah. That's where it starts. Today, man, you got backup tackles versus those guys. Come on.
It's the worst possible matchup. Yeah, and it's just that, man, they just need a couple dudes, you know, Karloff just, he got too much slander, I thought, last week, but it's like, I don't know, they just don't have, like, that guy that I'm, like, really scared of. They need a back, too. That's what they really need.
Yes.
Kareem Hunt had that one drop.
So bad.
Every time he gets a short yardage touch, I think of you, but like they need a back because there's opportunity. Like even today, there's some opportunities there. Like you can run on the Texas defense a little bit, even though it's just incredible. But it's just, no one's making just that play pop. Like even Xavier Worthy on his good plays, he's not like he's one-on-one with the safety and he just like dives forward. And it's just like, can you make a guy miss in space? Like just once, like just get a few more yards, create something out of here.
It should not be this hard when your quarterback's Patrick Mahomes, and I think they need to like think more seriously about that, like that fact.
Yeah, maybe even a missing in playoffs is like that's how you get the mouthwash,
a little medicine.
Like, okay, all right, this is legit.
At the end of the day, like, dude, they're 6-7, and their point differential is like what, +60? Yeah, +63.
Is it actually?
See, because they were in the 70s before this game.
It's, I know, But you just watch him play, like you watch Mahomes play, and you just feel like that he has to just carry everything. And that's the thing, is the defense, yeah. I just ragged on them blitzing, and then they blitz like crazy tonight, and it was good. It was like, okay, maybe you do have some stuff, and maybe you have Noel Williams figuring it out. Either way, we'll probably talk Chiefs more Chiefs playing Chiefs.
Yeah. Chiefs have a higher point differential than the Jaguars this year.
That feels right.
They're plus 63. They that's good for what, ninth in the NFL? It's ridiculous. 6-7. They're just surrounded by all the playoff teams. Right. They're losing every single one score game this year, and they won 11 of them last year.
And they play a gauntlet of schedule. That's like all these teams do. It feels like.
I mean, second place schedule.
So the Texans are 9 out of 10 times making it, based on the odds right now. Oh, they got Cardinals, Raiders, then Chargers, and then zombie Colts. So they are probably they got a golden ticket. And that's what the Texans got right now. Dude, I feel as good about them as anybody. I just keep saying that. We were talking about with the Bills.
It
was just like,
they got Trump cards.
Right. That's basically what we got to figure out. All right, who are the Trump cards? They got a defense that's a Trump card, and then they got a quarterback that can win you games. I mean, Nico Collins is still awesome. I think all the receivers are just like coming in their own. Like the roles are making sense. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm feeling good about
the Iowa State duo. Higgins is having a nice little run too. Mm-hmm. They're figuring it out. It's a lot better than it was at the start of the year.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and now that, like, even how they have Noel getting in there, they gave him the handoff, didn't they? That got blown up. That was
I rewatched it. There was like some defensive end because the tackle was pulling out on the sweep, but his defensive end on a wide receiver who just threw the receiver into the tackle, and there was no one to actually get to the edge. So that's why it was small one.
You got a receiver
Receiver on a D end, and your play's dead. You blocked your teammate, man. There's no one there to get that guy.
Especially when sometimes you see that some guys are so smart and they see that motion coming. So they're like, oh, gee, I wonder, are we going this way? Like, am I about to get blown up right here, pinned right here? Wait,
you weigh 100 pounds less than me? I'm going to throw you into your team real quick. Like, just
like one army over there. No, I don't know. Rewatching the Texans versus Colts last week and a couple of the recent games, because that's when Stroud came back, and then just seeing how the old lines kind of really come together. And I like the Chiefs defense isn't bad. It's more average-ish, but it's like, you know, that's, they did enough. And the Chiefs were throwing also the kitchen sink, and Spags was, and that's why I just feel good about them. They're not going to really get tested for a couple weeks. So Chargers right after Christmas, you know, no disrespect to the Cardinals and the Raiders, but it's like, that's kind of like when we kind of like get to peek into them again. But hey, Texans are alive. Just got to get to the dance. Any other last thoughts, Chiefs, Texans?
We got a hell of a month ahead, because that AFC race is jam-packed tight.
Messy.
And I'm still not giving up on this Chiefs team. I still can't do it. Not until there's an E next to their name on the standings. I won't do it. They can still do this. I sound crazy and delusional. This is my Shador stardom. I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan. This is my cross to bear. It's the same thing.
They have Chargers next week. Basically, loser leaves town. Okay. Well, kind of. Chargers have other ways. But then Titans, Broncos at home on Christmas, and then at Raiders to end the season. So they're very live, but they just need a little bit of help. Whew. I'm not ready to count them out either. It's at 15%, but I do feel much better about the much better about the Texans right now. That defense is just ridiculous. But yeah, that was a fun Sunday night football game. That was fun to close out. A little garnish at the end of today of week 14. Next up is three highs, three lows. Charles and I got together live on YouTube to react to week 14. It was a fun day. Both of them. Green Bay and Chicago, a nice little late afternoon game. We got the Jags beating the Colts. Daniel Jones injury, we touch on that. And Falcons, of course, because Chuck is here. Ravens, what the heck's going on with you as the Steelers take a hold of the AFC North? That conversation is coming up right after the break. Hello, and welcome to Football 301. I am your host, Nate Tice. Here we are recapping week 14 on a very entertaining day. To help me do that, like every Sunday, my guy, Mr. Four Verts, Charles McDonald. How you doing today, Chuck? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. Today was pretty fun. You know, we had some blowouts, but I think more close games than we've gotten in the past week. So to end the day, or at least to end like the first window of games before Sunday Night Football with that banger between the Packers and Bears, that was fun. I mean, I don't remember the last time I've watched a game between the Packers and the Bears that had stakes for each team, and to see it come down to like the last play. That's ultimately what you want to see, like if you're tracking the Bears' progression. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was a couple first-round quarterbacks ago, I think, was the last time we saw that with a competitive game between the Packers and Bears, for the Bears, I should say. No, it was with all the weather we had, I thought we might get a little bit more sloppiness. There was some sloppiness that we'll talk about, but there was a lot of good ball, a lot of entertaining play. I thought a lot of high leverage plays from good players, if that makes sense, where I think guys really performed, which we'll talk about as well. Might as well just get into it. We're going to take you through the ups and downs of week 14 with three highs, three lows. We'll start with that game you just mentioned at Lambeau Field. The Packers take control of the NFC North, the very competitive NFC North, because the Lions are still hanging there in there as well. The Packers win 28-21 against the Bears. Like you mentioned, very entertaining game. Thought both teams had moments where they felt like they had the momentum. Yes, I'll use the M word, where it felt like each team had a control for a second or just had a nice stretch, had big plays on both sides of the ball. I thought Jordan Love, I mean, obviously he had a few touchdowns today, had some unbelievable throws, and really against the blitz as well, against the Bears blitzes. Caleb Williams had some moments at the end and then had the pick at the very last play of the game to seal it. What did you think of this one, Chuck? I'm still catching my breath because this one just wrapped up before we went live.
For the first half, I thought it was going to go kind of how we talked about it last week, where maybe if you're the Packers, you just come out guns blazing and try to rip off some chunk plays in the first half and dare them to keep up with you. Go into halftime and it was 14-3. And it's like, man, this one feels like it might be getting out of hand, just because I didn't see any real way the Bears defense was just going to like step up to the task and start slowing them down. But they just kept chipping away at it in the run game in the second half, like especially the third quarter. Man, they really just took it to the Packers, and it felt like they were starting to take control of that game. And to me, like that's even though they end up losing the game on the last play, and maybe not a great ball by Caleb, but man, I think the Packers deserve a lot of credit for how they just snuffed that out, like all three levels. You really had to know where you could go with that, but it's fourth down, yeah. So you got to throw it up and do something. Which I did respect, because we've seen some quarterbacks this year just not throw the ball on fourth down and just eat sacks and do really weird stuff. So at least you put the ball in the air. But the fact that you can just sustain a drive like that against a good defense, it's just another sign of growth for this team. And I think we saw, like most people, like just about everyone's saying, they were 9-3, top of the NFC, but no one like thinks this is like an elite team. They're still a growing team, but a good team, I think you could say. Like the offense is officially good. Like they have arrived on a national audience today.
Yeah, I think the Packers, I consider one of the top teams, and just not the, just the NFC, the NFL. And the fact that the Bears went toe to toe with them and had made mistakes but still were in it, I think, like you said, that's just a sign of growth. I think they're way ahead of schedule. Like they feel like a very feisty team that like is a wild card team, as opposed to like, yeah, they're getting lucky and this is all going to fall out from them because of this and that. I mean, the first drive, the Packers were just methodical. And I was just like, ooh, this is going to be a long day for that Bears defense. And then Love gets sacked, throws the pick because the guy wasn't sinking. I think it was CJ Gardner-Johnson, wasn't it? But he wasn't sinking because it was a third and forever. And then I was like, oh, okay, here come the Bears. And then Colson Loveland fumbles. I was like, okay, all right, well, one of these teams is going to pull ahead. I'm going to have some like momentum narrative I'm going to talk about. But I thought both teams had moments. I'll start with the Packers because they won this game. But Jordan Love, I mean, the touchdown to Christian Watson on 3rd and 10 against a cover zero, which was just awesome. Just guys of protection. They wadded up. I thought that was great because it was a great example of throwing a ball to a spot and letting the receiver kind of run to it because Watson was going high and then he just brought him low. But then the Bo Melton touchdown was awesome. 55-yard throw in the air. I looked it up, 55.1 yards. He doesn't begin to throw that until Melton's 25 yards down the field. Which is just like, it just shows how insane Jordan Love's arm is. And I like, I think I said this in the group chat, I think, where I was like, if I want to just show, I don't know, like an alien, but someone that just has never watched NFL football, okay, this is what an NFL throw is, or this is like how hard the NFL is, was that throw right there, because it's like throwing it that far down the field. If he's inside or late, the safety closes on it. It's just the design of the play, how aggressive it was. And then the other touchdown, Christian Watson, was, I thought it was kind of fun. You mentioned the run game with Josh Jacobs. The last Christian Watson touchdown, the second one, it was an RPO, so zone read. And then the Packers run all these flat plays. You know, Tucker Kraft usually gets them, but for years. And they just ran like a flat, a slant, a flat off of it. But the Josh Jacobs touchdown at the end of the game to seal it, or to go ahead, was the same play. It was the same formation, same run play, but they just had something tagged differently with the routes. And I just thought it was funny that those plays feel so different in how they resulted. They both, I mean, they both ended in touchdowns, but how they got there, but it was the same kind of little run RPO. But it just shows that, like, anytime the Packers team, even if they have moments of frustration, it's like the run game is good and they could just do that in the passing game. Jordan Love can just do that any moment, just throw a haymaker and just poof, there's 7 points, even when you think you got them.
Yeah. I mean, over the past month, the Packers are 4-0, and these Jordan Love numbers are kind of crazy. He's averaging basically 0.3 EPA per dropback, which is, I don't really explain like how good that is. Yeah, it's MVP level. About 50% success rate, 20% explosive pass rate. He's getting pressured at 42% of his dropbacks, but he's only been sacked 4 times. Like, he's really kind of ascended to another level, and I'm glad that he's actually like good enough where he can throw that interception that he had in the to start the game, and it doesn't really matter because you're going to pick up so many chunk plays, so many explosives, and that's why you kind of live with those plays. Even though, you know, I like to make fun of him because I think it's funny when he has those plays, but they're not as frequent as like people who actually think he's bad might think. I really think the only thing that's kind of maybe stopping him from being in the MVP race, maybe their record, but also it's probably just a low volume passing offense. Like, he's at 24, 21, 30, 25 passing attempts over the last 4 games. So, like, people still like the volume stats. You might not have those, but on an efficiency basis, man, he is just playing ruthless football right now.
Yeah, ruthless is right. It's there. I mean, even the first touchdown to Watson, you mentioned you kind of like make fun of him. Like, he's a Kobe fan, and you can hear him saying Kobe.
Yeah.
Like every time he throws it, the first touchdown, the blocking is clean, and he still throws a fadeaway. He still throws like a fadeaway. Like, he's got pressure in his face. He's like, no, you got nobody in front of you. Yeah, he's actually like says Kobe on it. Like, I don't know. That's his rhythm, you know, like it's just how he throws it. No. And then, I mean, Micah Parsons was relentless. I don't even know what his box score numbers ended up, but like, it felt like there's so many times where Caleb was chasing him down. And that's where I'm so high on the Packers is that they can run it and they can hit explosives, like no matter what. And Jordan Love doesn't take sacks. You mentioned the low sacks with that amount of pressures. That's what's so cool. And it's not dink and dunk. It's just chunk play after chunk play. And different guys are stepping up. Bo Melton's catching touchdowns now. He was playing DB 3 months ago. I mean, their first round pick barely even saw him, felt him much. Christian Watson looks great after, you know, coming back from injury. Like, Dobbs is still out there. They're just a really dangerous offense, really dangerous team. I mean, I'm feeling as good about them as about anybody in the entire NFL. Rams looked really good too. The Seahawks looked good too. I will say the Rams looked really freaking good too. So I have to mention them as well. But the Bears, though, like you said, like, they got to feel pretty good about where the Bears are at. I thought it was pretty cool. The fight wasn't cool that broke out. The flag happened. But I did think that it was the Bears receivers were really trying to block the Packers safeties. And if you ever watch Evan Williams or these guys, they really, and so that's why the scuffling happened, because they were just like really scrapping. I just thought the Bears played hard and they were relentless too. So any other thoughts on this game kind of at the end? I thought the Bears kind of offensive actions were cool. The Packers linebackers were running every which way on plays. And it was like, it was a good football game. I thought it was a really good football game.
Got to give a shout out to Josh Jacobs. Throwback hard nose performance today. That was freaking awesome. I mean, the little pitch play on like 3rd and 1 where he broke through the line of scrimmage. I was like, oh no, they got him. He's dead. And then nope, just popped right out through the other side, tried to run over a DB. Like, that was really cool to see, because, and I mean, there's just nothing better than seeing a team being able to ride their RB1 to like just to the finish line, and then they close. He finished with basically 0.2 EPA per rush today. 45% success rate, only 5% explosive rush rate. So like you just boom, 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 boom.
That's what
boom,
it is, man.
Hitting you with jabs over and over again. Yes. And then you break one at the end. That was that was really, really fun game.
Their formula makes sense to me. You know, the Packers, like, you know, like how they get stuff done on offense, like just makes sense to me. Like it's kind of, there's moment stretches where it can be frustrating, but it's like, man, it can kind of go against any defense. Like they're kind of, they have an answer against any type of defense they might face. I just have to end too, cause I just thought of it, but like Jordan Love against the blitz, like this is why I think it's suicide to blitz him, because he's so aggressive, but the protection's so good. He finished 8 of 11, 126 yards and 2 touchdowns against the blitz. Got pressured twice, 0 sacks. It's just damned if you do, damned if you don't against them right now. They're cooking, but I think the Bears are playing good football too. It's a really fun game. A really fun game. I'm glad I kind of got the ISO box that one. It's been a while since I got an afternoon ISO box. That was in three that games I'm trying to take good. Notes on. It was nice. Nope. Yeah, they made it worthy of it.
I turned off that Cardinals-Rams game pretty quickly. Pretty quickly.
Oh, that was after Nakua's touchdown. I was like, yeah, I'm good here. I'm good. I'll catch this one later. We'll go to high number two. This is the AFC South. This is the Jags take over the AFC South, winning 36-19. Adam Schefter tweeted the weather of this game a couple days ago or yesterday. And I quote tweeted like, uh-oh, Trevor in the rain. You just don't know what you're going to get. Like he's a mogwai. You don't know if he's going to turn into a gremlin. Like you don't know exactly what's going to happen when the rain comes out. And then other people mentioned, hey, Colts and Duval, kind of weird things happen whenever the Colts go down to Jacksonville. So it's kind of like competing forces working out here. I think the Jaguars competing forces won here. Daniel Jones suffers an injury. Likely a very bad one, probably an Achilles. He was playing with a Lex Luger metal plate on his shin. So, you know, looks like just a freak injury that just happens. No, just a bad injury, I should say. Riley Leonard got in there. But the Jaguars, I thought, and Trevor Lawrence had a very clean game, I think would be the best way to put it, even in the rain, which kind of stunned me because I was like, oh, I'm kind of trepidatious about this. And I thought they had a nice, clean game on offense and in the passing game especially. But what'd you think about this one, Chuck? Jaguars performance, Trevor Lawrence, passing game, Jacoby Myers, the most important player in the NFL, Daniel Jones injury, take it where you want it.
What our friend Richard Johnson said, Jacoby Myers is literally the greatest receiver in Jaguars history. And it was after he caught a 7-yard slant last week or something like that.
I think you said he saved his life last week.
Saved his life. Jacoby Myers
has saved my life. Saved his life. this man breaks news in college football.
Yeah. And he's freaking out over Jacoby Myers targets every single day in that damn chat. But it's good to see, like, just to see that we're not crazy about Trevor, and if you can get a little more functionality around him, you know, because it's not that I stopped believing that he was good, but I stopped caring if what the outcomes were. That's so I was like, oh man, like I'm not gonna sit here and argue with you guys forever. Ultimately, like, we're all good here at the end of the day. I'm not to freak out about this, but it does feel good to see that he can still play at a pretty high level when the surroundings are a little bit more stable around him. And what I thought was good about the Jaguars today is this is more narrative or anecdotal based, but you didn't let any of that Jaguars crap from the past come into this game. Cause you know, Daniel Jones goes down, here comes rookie Riley Leonard. You've seen the Jaguars have worse spots than that where they have messed up. So to actually just like take control of that game and push it all the way to the finish line with a really, really strong second half. That's what you want to see like from playoff teams. You know, don't take the cheese from these, you know, lesser opponents that you're going to face. Make the 6th-round rookie feel like he's a 6th-round rookie in a game against a playoff level team. And I thought that was just a good win for them. And I guess their outlook towards being able to win a game or two potentially in the postseason, because it really just does feel like the AFC is wide open. Like the closer you get down wide to the finish line, because like we're going to learn a lot here in the Chiefs Texans game that's coming up tonight. But man, like you can really make a case to me for like, 8 or 9 teams to win the Super Bowl this year, which is, I'll go 8. I don't think the Colts have a chance anymore, but still like there's a lot going on here. And man, I think if you're a Jacksonville fan and you're looking at today, shoot, why not us? Why not go on see if we can go on a run here? Because it really does seem like it's up to the taking for anyone.
Since week 10, when Jacoby Myers started playing for them,
The Jaguars rank fifth in dropback success rate, only behind the Rams, 49ers, Cowboys, and Patriots, seventh in explosive pass rate. We've seen the run game get cooking, and they had some moments today, a little bit more boom-busty today, but they always kind of find answers. It's not the perfect run game. The offensive line isn't perfect. And Jacoby Myers really has just – he had one drop today, so I have to mention that. But he just settles everyone down. BTJ is just – gets to do what BTJ is good at. All of a sudden, he's running over the middle again. He had a nice little seam early in the game down the middle. But you get to see him go vertical. Of course, he had the one bobble going towards the sideline, but you can see Brent Strange out there. So I'm kind of adding on what you say, Chuck, is just like, why not us? Like, this division and this conference is so wide open, and the Jags now have a 96% chance to make the playoffs and a 61% chance to basically win the division. I mean, the defense is opportunistic. I think they are game planned really well. They're not perfect, but that's what I just keep coming back to with all these AFC teams. It's like, none of these guys are perfect. None of these teams are perfect. So it's kind of like, who can really get hot? And if they play like this on offense, I mean, Trevor was 7-15 for 105 yards for one touchdown against the blitz today. He got pressured four times, didn't take a sack. He just didn't have any of those crap out moments that he always has. Like even before the half, he gets a touchdown. He breaks contain, goes to the left. He breaks between two guys. And if he takes a sack, time's going to run out in the half. And you can even hear JJ Watt go, oh, can't take a sack here. And he like splits it. And it's like, oh, maybe the vibes are just good in Jacksonville now. Like, you know, because I've seen that happen where he gets hit there and it's just like something stupid happens. Always just near the red zone and everything. But yeah, just maybe some stuff is clicking right. I mean, he had a pass to Tim Patrick at the end of the game where he's booting to, he broke to his left. He made a guy miss. Throws a Tim Patrick to the left. And after, he's all like fired up and jacked up. And I thought he was going to headbutt Liam Cohen. But I don't know. Sometimes there's just good vibes going on, and they just had really good vibes. He finished with 51.5% passing success rate. They had six explosives. The fact that they can do this now and they're just doing this week after week, it's good stuff. Anything else? The wheel route touchdown, Jacoby Myers was sweet. Love the design. Love the throw. That was great. Basial Tootin fumble. He had fumble issues in college. It hasn't been an issue so far in the NFL, but that was one little blemish as well today. Anything with more on the Jags? You thought, Chuck?
I mean, I think tonight or today, it was good to see them. I guess to kind of stuff the run for Indianapolis. Like this is probably one of the Colts' worst rushing games of the season. They weren't really effective with what they're trying to do. All game. And like, I guess it's more like I said, like you handled the opponent that you were supposed to handle. Like you had Riley Leonard, with a banged up offense, and this is first action in your playoff team. Like you should handle business. I actually did think Riley Leonard did some nice stuff on late downs today. Like third and fourth down, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I was like, this is not good. Down like this is gonna three be a score. Jonathan Taylor fumbled. It's raining. I was like, oh boy. Yeah.
But I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's about to like go crazy and lead them to the playoffs. Like their season's cooked. You get to see what Riley's gotten. Yeah, the early down stuff was, but made some plays when they needed to, and you showed a little bit of something.
Yeah, he had one little pass to Alec Pierce, like kind of broke contain. He had a touchdown taken back on that. They called OPI on Pittman. That was really nice process. That's why I was high on him. He was pretty good at the protection stuff in college. I thought a little bit better than you would realize because it was such a run-heavy offense. So he can make some plays. They have a 50% chance to make playoffs. And it's like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, Colts. But then they play the Seahawks, 49ers, Jags, and Texans. It's like, that's brutal. I mean, Texans, Seahawks, two of the top three defense, top four defenses. 49ers defense isn't like terrible. They're like not great, but they can't really get pass rush right now. But then, and then the Jags defense again. So it's like, it's tough. It's tough on a coin flip right there. But yeah, Leonard will at least run around. I think he's accurate underneath. It's just the deep passes that are going to give you will make you scared a little bit on it. But they just are how quickly this changes. I mean, the Colts traded for Sauce Gardner. And to make a push, because everything we're saying about the AFC, it's wide open. If you have a snowball's chance in hell, you should push for it. Like I thought it was super aggressive. I would prefer if you went for a D lineman, to trade that much collateral. But I also kind of like
understand in this year and what the makeup was. But since then, it's just been kind of like one thing after another, like truly Murphy's Law. And I mean, they have to figure, I mean, it's a 1 year contract for Daniel Jones. So this is what we talked about even before the season, good or bad, like what you're going to have to make a decision anyways. Guy Anthony Richardson with his freak injury again, got an injury with an armband or a stretching band and broke his orbital bone. So yeah, I mean, they're crazy. I know. And so, yeah, the Colts just were feeling so good. I mean, we were legit. Everybody was loving the offense and everything that was going on. And they made a push, and it just all came falling apart. And it just kind of stinks. I mean, an Achilles injury is an Achilles injury, but they just have so many questions now to answer, not just now, but just right when the season ends, too.
Yeah, you're right back to where you started. Right back to where you started.
That's it. Hey, that Anthony.
Yeah, you want to stay?
That's the thing with the injury. It's not like, okay, they were trending downwards, and it was like they could still maybe make the playoffs and lose in the first round or something. But then it was now it's like, oh God. But at least if they miss the playoffs, it's like, all right, we can sign Daniel Jones. All right, maybe we can figure out what exactly how to pay him. Now it's an injury and it's an Achilles. So now it's just like, oh my God. Like, even if that was the plan, that path just gets muddied so much. So it's just, yeah. Even more questions for the Colts. I'm just really curious what's going to happen in the next couple months, because the first couple months were so great. Jaguars, though, feeling very good. I think their passing game is really coming along. I think I'm dead serious with the Jacoby Myers stuff. The offensive line's still a little iffy, but the defense does cool stuff. So, yeah, Jaguars feeling really good along with the Texans. So we'll see how that AFC South shakes out. All right, we'll go to high number three. Another AFC battle. This was another weather game. But this was Buffalo weather, so we got some snow. The Bills pull this one down, 39-34. Very entertaining game. Josh Allen went full-on Professor Chaos. I don't even say Professor Chaos. Like, Josh Allen, I think, runs most like an ostrich. And he had some – he runs like an ostrich. he had some true ostrich runs today.
Yeah.
40-yard touchdown, the third and forever scramble to ice the game. Both times he makes a free runner miss. Peppering the tight ends all day. They were down 14-3. He created a couple times on fourth down, made some great plays, and then it was off to the races after that. But this game was a hoot. But, yeah, Bills win by five. Really needed, too. Really, really needed. What'd you think about this one, Chuck?
Man, I guess I want to start off. I was in awe of, like, the athleticism of these guys during this. Because all of them. Because, like, God, as the game went along, like, they had all adjusted to running on the snow. Like, because even with Josh Allen, like, because Josh, like, when he runs, when it's nice outside, he's opening it up. And he's trying to, like, eat up yards as he can. But you even see waddling just a little bit, just trying to keep the balance. And everyone's trying to adjust to, like, just stay up on their feet. Yeah. And to kind of see, like, as the game goes along, now we're making one-handed catches. Like, there were multiple one-handed catches in the second half of that game. Yes. Really, really just impressive display of just, like, overall skill and ability. And then like, in the actual game, it's just ridiculously implosion by the Bengals. In the fourth quarter, it felt like they had a chance to just. Now, I don't know. Put cruise controls is the right term, but, like, control that game in the second half, because coming out of the break, you're up 21-11, and you give up 21 points in the fourth quarter. And I do think, like, that's probably where some of the elements came. Like, anytime you're seeing, like, that, just a flurry of turnovers like that, a flurry of turnovers, get it? You're probably being affected by the elements just a little bit, but still, like Joe shouldn't be dropping the ball in a situation like that when you're that close to the end zone in the fourth quarter when you need a touchdown. And, like, you're giving the ball back to freaking Josh Allen with your defense. I know they've been a little better recently, but they're still the Bengals defense. So I guess I was just a little frustrated with just how sloppy they got, but I do understand the elements were there. I just thought it was really, really just a wild game as it got to the fourth quarter. Like, I'm still kind of struggling with my takeaways from it because, like, so much happened. I mean, you had 34 combined points in the fourth quarter alone, and a lot of it was just, like, slot plays. Like, we've seen, like, Benford had the interception, and then Burrow fumbled the ball, and it just really felt like it was getting out of control due to the weather. But still, really impressive day by the Bills to put this one over the finish line. And I don't know how I feel about them as a whole, but shoot, like the Jaguars, they get as good chances as anyone, you know, because they can do something like that in the fourth quarter.
That's it. I know. That's the thing too. It's like, oh, it's snowing, and both of these run defenses aren't great, so we're going to just see a lot of, you know, pound of the rock. Both guys go basically for three bills. Both guys go for four total touchdowns. It was like, oh, okay, never mind. James Cook fumbled at the goal line, of course. Hey, Joe Burrow's back in there. Bengals are going to get those goal line turnovers. That's what their defense does. The pick six was with Christian Benford, or however you want to call that. It was interesting because it was a corner cat, which is blitz. It's so hard. It's so weird. I've also noticed this. I'm not the only one, but everyone calls it a corner cat, and that's just what it's called. Like when you write the play down, you know, it's just cat, blah blah blah, cat cover two, and so it's corner cat, corner blitz, and what Joe Burrow's trying to do, it's a run play, and they called it like it's a side adjust, so basically a hot route, and if that guy comes, then you just stop right there, like basically run like a little mini hitch, and we would pop the ball to you, and Burrow tried to just like shot put it or do whatever he did. And that play, the corner cat was in his head because Benford got him earlier on a corner blitz,
yeah,
and he blindsided him. So it was probably in his head too. Like, okay. And then they had an adjustment. Like, hey, if they bring this corner blitz, okay, we got this. They have great little probability chart up there, but yeah, there felt like there was a lot of rises and falls in this game. But it was just felt like those type of minutes. And then, like you said, it was like, okay, now the ball's back to Josh Allen. And it felt like, to help maybe control the game, but there's also been a couple of weeks now, they did this when the Steelers too last week. The Bills were doing a lot of under center stuff. They were under center on 60% of their snaps, and I believe that was the most of the season, or second most of their season. They were under center 63% last week. They had 11 dropbacks from under center this week. Last week they had 10, so 11 was the season high. Before the season high before that was 8. Kind of some up and down plays, but I thought that was interesting because I was hoping they would add to their run game, and more under center dropback stuff adds to their run game. And you saw a couple of big plays to the tight ends off those. Little additions. It's not all perfect, but Josh Allen, man, when he's playing like this, it's like you say, like you're talking about like the Jaguars or this team, it's like, man, if you just got some of these aces in the hole, and Josh Allen is like a gigantic ace. That's the ace of spades. Like, that's what this AFC playoffs feels like. It's like a decent game plan, which I've seen McDermott do. Like, and Josh Allen in a run game, that's not a bad formula for the playoffs.
Yeah. 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 That was the shoot. Like, they have Josh Allen in a big offensive line, and that's enough, kind of, this year.
I know. And some, if Dalton Kincaid's out there, I guess some size at pass catchers. I don't know. It's not the worst formula. I know. That's how I feel. I'm not canceling any team. Like you said, there was just half a dozen teams. I'm just like, yeah, sure. As long as they make it to the dance.
Yeah. I did feel a little bad for Joe Burrow because, man, like, he's been playing really well since he got back.
Oh my God.
It felt like, because I was like, dude, why are you doing this? Like, this season's cooked. Like, you guys aren't making the playoffs. Why are you coming back? Well, it certainly looks healthy enough to come back.
Yeah.
Like, over the first three quarters of the game, he averaged like 0.5 EPA per dropback. I mean, both these guys just had ridiculously efficient games through the course of it. Then, you know, we saw in the fourth quarter, kind of got away from Joe a little bit. Really, I guess just their whole team, but, you know, that's why they're 4-9. They're just not a very good football team. I think we saw that in the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah. It was nice to see T. Higgins just doing that stuff. He's just such a good player. So I know. And they're so competitive. We're not going to really talk about this game, but like Jane Daniels getting hurt again. It's like, man, your season's kind of cooked, but it's like they want to be out there. They want to play. And it's like just how it goes. And just hope they don't get hurt again. I just like watching the Bills today. Like, they're just such a Jekyll and Hyde team for me. It's like every time I watch them, I either feel real good about them or I'm just like, oh my God, do you guys even practice? Stop running a mesh. Yeah. and then they just have a game like this and it just feels so much better. All right, we'll move on to the other side of this show, and that is lows. We'll start with low number one. And really, it's just, what's wrong with the Bucs? Saints, go in and win 24-20. What the hell was this? Is right, because I went back and rewatched it, and that's all I kept asking myself too. Tyler Shuck finished with a higher dropback success rate than Baker, pretty substantially, actually. I would even say 45% for the Saints, 33% for the Bucks, same amount of explosive plays. Yeah, and I really just kind of control it. We got to see some Devin Neal, who I'm a fan of, and I actually thought he had a nice performance. Some Audric Estime was in there as well. And the Bucks just kind of just a blah game, just a very blah game. That's the best way I can put it. But they're now tied with the Panthers for the NFC South. Chuck, what do you think about this one? This was yucky.
I kind of was not paying attention to this game until the second half because I just kind of didn't think I would.
I'm fine with that.
To be honest with you. So you know, I threw it on one of my multi-view boxes, and I'm watching the second half. I'm like, why the hell is New Orleans like at midfield every time I look up? And their average starting field position in the second half was their own 45 yard line. So that's why, because they were about starting every drive about midfield. So even when you are a bad team, like the New Orleans Saints, which is a very bad football team, if you start at midfield for the entire half of football, you should be able to score some points, 3.4 points per drive. And ultimately, they were able to get that across the finish line. Now, the one thing that I just don't know if I like actually saw still, like I looked at my TV and I saw Tyler Shuck running for like 25 yards for a touchdown. And I still don't know if that was real or not. But my God, Tampa Bay, like we've talked so much about how slow they are in the second level. And then just to see it culminate in this and like, it's kind of crazy because they look like they could potentially win a game in the wild card earlier this season. And now, dude, they're definitely worse than the Panthers. And over the past month, like they've been playing like the damn Falcons.
And they're getting healthier.
Yeah. And they're getting healthier. So that's what's really confusing.
And they've been playing worse.
Yeah,
no, it's the weirdest thing.
I don't get it. I really don't understand what's happened here.
I don't either. Chuck had two rushing touchdowns and another long run. And I all year they've been kind of getting peppered a little bit with design runs, QB design runs, like read plays. They got them twice today. Those zone read arc, which is like a lead blocker on a zone read. But like you mentioned, the back seven looks slow. Devontae David got sniffing on the second long run. It wasn't a touchdown, and he was just looking in the backfield. Then no one could recover as soon as they got a block. That's maybe the best way to put it. No one can recover, and it's such an aggressive defense that if things don't work out, or you have to rally to make a tackle, or rally to, you know, if it's a run play instead of a pass when you're blitzing, nobody is able to. There's no room for error on the defense right now. They just feel a little bit slow. I mean, Chuck just, I mean, he ran well at the combine or ran well, you know, the spring, but he was outpacing the Bucks defenders pretty easily in this. And I like just looking back, it wasn't like they did anything super outlandish on offense. It was just, they just kind of outperformed them. And I've actually, the Saints defense has given several offenses some issues this year, including, when they've played before, but it just, I don't know. I thought as they got healthier that the Bucks would just start kind of finding their groove. I knew that some of the first month of the season was kind of empty calories, like we've talked about a million times. But crashed. They've been crashing hard. Like this isn't like, oh wow, I thought they'd have the talent to maybe sustain them a little bit.
Yeah, it's weird. Like they're just like, and there's plays to be made too. There's Baker's in the pocket. They're in the red zone, clean pocket. Wide open pass to Emeka Egbuka, who is just like walking to the end zone with no one within like 10 yards of him. And Baker, you know, he threw it too high. Again, no pressure, just threw it way too high. Emeka Egbuka is one of those plays that like the hard does say, oh, you got two hands on it, you should have caught it. I'm like, man, how about your quarterback who's not being pressured and it has a 7-on-7 opportunity? Not even 7-on-7 because there's no defender there. You're throwing on air, put the ball in his chest. How about that? That's always blow my mind how quarterbacks get away with that sometimes. Like, yeah, he's reaching up here and he's an NFL player and he's good and he should have caught it, but the NFL player throwing it to him should have made it a little bit easier for him. And it just kind of feels like that's where they are. It's just not a clean operation right now. Like Baker's been bad. Not like, okay. Like just flat out really bad over the past
few weeks.
Month. Like really since the Seattle game, almost unplayably bad. So I don't know what they're going to do this offseason because now you're at the spot where, okay, been a couple of years since that Tom Brady Super Bowl. About time to flip the page, you know, no more bridge stuff. Yeah, at some point, you got to turn the page. And with how this is going now, it feels like it's time to maybe think about what the next era of Bucks football looks like. Like, Baker is perfect for when you get the mercenary Tom Brady, you win the Super Bowl, you don't just want to fall off immediately. Go get someone like Baker Mayfield, but there's an expiration date on that, and I think we're about there.
They just, on defense, even outside the Baker stuff, and even just like how the offense just kind of feels toothless right now, fangless, is on defense, they don't feel like they have any venom either. Like, there's no edge rush. Like, even in the run game, it feels like the edge, like Vita Vea is Vita Vea. Vita Vea is a star of what he does and everything he does, but everything around him, orbiting around him, there's just not a lot of like,
just run away from him.
Big plays. Yeah, just exactly. You know, just run to the outside. All right, cool, done. You know, Antoine Winfield rocks. Like, he's awesome. And they've had, you know, they have some cool players on the back end, but it's the front seven just doesn't have any tenacity. Anybody's that you're just like, yeah, you got really game up for this guy. And I mean, shoot, like you mentioned, like turning the page, like, I mean, that's a longer discussion. They're an interesting team to me. I mean, very interesting because they got a lot of good stuff, but they just got to figure out the head coach and quarterback kind of more important things there. But it just does, like, I've done now media since the 2020 season. And every time I do the Bucks defense, it's the same breakdowns. And you know, like, that's nice for me sometimes doing my show and trying to analyze it. But now imagine being an NFL offense, if you're competent enough, or NFL offense that just has gone against it enough, you're going to have enough answers just easy because you just know what the defense is. So what does that mean? Well, we need personnel. And I think they've done a great, Jason White's done, I mean, he was one of the best drafters, I think, in the NFL. But just right now, this makeup of the team is just missing a couple pieces, I think, up there. And just the offense hasn't been dangerous enough. It just doesn't feel, the offense just doesn't feel right. I mean, I know the injuries have happened all year, but it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. They just need something. So the Bucks go Falcons this week, week 15, I should say. Then they go Panthers, Dolphins, Panthers. So
how do you think all those games are winnable too, you know? So that's the stop of the NFC South.
They got two against the Panthers. I like how the Panthers look much more than the Bucks, which is so crazy to say because just even quarterback situation too. We'll just move on to low number two. This is another team that kind of feeling pretty good about them for a while, and they're going into the season and have been pretty disappointed this year and kind of thought it was still shaping up okay as everyone got healthy, and health still isn't helping. The Ravens really in some jeopardy right now as the Steelers beat them 27-22. Chuck, what's up with the Ravens right now? Before we get into the Steelers, Ravens right now, before we even get into this, they have a 31% chance to make the playoffs. The Steelers have a 66% chance, according to the Athletics model. What's going on with those Ravens?
If your quarterback is like obviously super duper duper hurt, I don't. So to me, it's kind of that simple. Like, I'm watching Lamar, and I actually thought, given where he is physically, I thought he played okay today. But I mean, this is so much less than what he's capable of, because I just need people to remember that he did play MVP level ball for a full month before he got hurt this season. Like, you go back and you look at what he did the first quarter of the season compared to what other quarterbacks did in the same time. It's like a top three or four player. Since then, since he got hurt and gets a Chiefs game, missed a couple games, then has been playing in the games on Sunday without practicing during the week, which I think goes to show you how desperate they are to just try and squeeze something out this season. I mean, there's just no way you can really be a consistently productive player if you're not even healthy enough to practice. What am I supposed to do in the game? Just realistically. So, you know, I know people are going to say, oh, you know, an MVP should just rise above that. I mean, those people are mouth breathers. Like, just stay focused on the reality. Unfortunately, they're still in the hunt, so they're going to keep throwing him out there. Hopefully he doesn't get like a serious injury, because I'm watching him run. And even though he's like scored on that touchdown run in the low red zone, like, he's still hobbling out in the open field. And I think
it's like 75%.
I just think,
to
see, like, he's like actually like hobbling. I just don't think this is necessary for Baltimore ultimately. Like, you should be able to look at yourself and say, hey, this season's cooked, man. Like, we're not winning anything if we go to the playoffs. It's probably more important just to make sure he sits down and gets healthy for next year, because you're going to feel real bad if he gets caught like trying to evade someone and do something that he always does, but he's not physically capable right now. So he's still got a long time left on this Lamar Jackson thing, guys. Like, stay focused on the long-term view. You don't want to end up like that team you just beat that just beat you today, that's still trying to figure out what the hell to do with their quarterback situation since Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, which was like 6 years ago now.
Or any of these other teams that just lost their starter again, like the Colts or the Commanders. I mean, both their guys got hurt again.
In terms of looking slow, Derrick Henry. I think he got loose a little bit today, but the long speed is
not the same.
It's gone. I think it's gone.
I have looked that up. The numbers confirm that. Because I watch him on film, I'm like, ooh, that cut's not as quick. Like it's all 80%. You know, it's just a little step down. And that's the thing. It's the curve that it's not like all the way at the bottom. It's just that it's on the way down. So you're at like, you know, you're at like 2 o'clock. On the way down, and Lamar last week, it was not even just the running, it was the throws he missed when he was clean.
Yeah.
And that's where my alarms go off, because every quarterback in the history of time will miss a throw. It happens. Trevor had a great day today. He missed a flat route, just slipped out of his hand. I've seen Drake May in the middle of MVP talk as Troy Aikman's gushing about him. I'm loving everything he does, miss a throw. I've seen Aaron Rodgers miss throws. I've seen Tom Brady miss throws. Last week, he missed 5 throws that, like, what? Like, just there was no, like, I can't come up with a theory of what happened. Oh, the timing was off. The receiver was short. His foot got stepped on. His arm got hit. Just a miss. And that's, to me, even more than, like, you're mentioning, too, is the runs, where it just doesn't – it feels just like it's 80% there. It's not as fast or as quick, and he's hobbling. Yeah. That missing throws is usually the, like, just a little sign. Like, it's like a cat that's not grooming itself. Like,
especially
why are you doing that? You know,
especially when it's the one we know he can hit. Like, I've seen him hit every single throw that he's missed, and like hit them consistently. Yes. The guy's won 2 MVPs. Yes. Like,
you don't do that without doing this consistently.
right. He's less than a year removed from a 41 touchdown, 4 interception season. He's going to do something similar before he got hurt this year. So look, it's unfortunate because you feel the weight like of these years because they're all so precious, but. It's got to try again next year. Game's a game sometimes.
That's it. Neither team really got pressure, which is the way that you have to unravel Aaron Rodgers, which is always a thing with the Ravens. I do think the Ravens defense has been playing much better. But I thought that it was interesting. Steelers passed. This is the highest they passed all season, or highest pass rate. They only had 15 design runs, which was a season low. They had 34 rushing yards on those design runs. They threw the ball at a 68% rate, 68.6%. But then the last fourth quarter, they had 3 straight 3 and outs to end the game. And just third and longs are just a nothing. I thought it was – sorry, I just transitioned to Steelers talk. But the first play of the game cracked me up because it's just Aaron Rodgers' experience. Do you know what the first play was for the Steelers? It was the go ball to DK.
I did not see the first play.
So
no.
Okay, so what cracks me up with Rodgers is that he doesn't really throw over the middle because he's been like that for about 5 years now. But end of days, Packers. Doesn't want to throw a pick. Doesn't, you know, especially if he doesn't have, you know, Davante Adams running those dig routes. So it's a play action, and it's like a toss boot fake. And on those toss fakes, you're trying to get like against the grain action on the routes. So you toss, and then the routes come to the opposite side. They have the routes coming the opposite side. He just throws the go to the outside. So there's no point in faking any of that. Like, you know, there's no point in doing the fake if you're just going to throw a go ball because what you're not faking anything. It cracked me up because it was Rodgers. Because it was like, that play is not designed to throw a go ball. It's the first play of the game. So when people were like, oh, yeah, he's taking over the offense again, I'm like, yeah, that's a perfect play. It's a great play. It works out great. But it just cracked me up because it was like, that's not how that play should be designed. Like, you don't do a toss fake to throw a go on the outside. But this is Rodgers' experience right now. Sorry. I had to talk about it because it made me chuckle.
You don't have to, like, you don't want to move around on the field, though. He's 42 years old. He just had his birthday. Let him sit there and his fake fakes, you know.
Ben Skoranek got a cake for him, Skarsgård. Yeah, Rodgers had a scramble touchdown. Cracked me up. That was that took a while. He got there. That was 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And then the Jaylen Warren catch and run touchdown was a botch by Mike Green, if I had to guess. He was supposed to peel. It was a blitz. And he had the rookie for the Ravens. He was supposed to peel with Warren.
No young D defenseman is ever going to look for that. They're never going to peel, bro. Never.
Oh, no, no. Especially not with the blitz, too. Yeah.
They're never
crossface coming at you. Because all week they probably ran that blitz and the back protected, you know, picked up the blitz. So he didn't. He just got to rush too and be a free runner at the quarterback. So, all week he was like, and then all of a sudden –
so you're in golden retriever brain. Getting golden retriever brain. Quarterback. Yeah, there he is. I'm going to get him. Oh, no. Did
again. Damn. Who's that just ran by me?
That was you, baby. Guard him.
That is your guy. Yes, that is your guy. Also, Zay Flowers almost had a fourth down where he went backwards. And I yelled at the screen. That was actually frustrating Ravens. Oh, the red zone sequences that they had. The Rashad Bateman drop. The sequence at the end of the game, that's been a frustrating part of their offense right now too. Like, because they can't run the ball like they used to. Talk about punting with the Ravens, but they can't run it. Jalen Ramsey tombstone Derrick Henry. Not, I wouldn't say tombstone, but corralled him.
Oh, he got him
in space. You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a tough game for them, man. They're just discombobulated offense right now. Really bad, really bad. Like you said, I'm with you. The red zone stuff. If this offense is having trouble scoring in the red zone, like they need to go back and look at everything in the offseason.
Yes.
What are we doing wrong here? And it was funny, but what I was laughing at earlier, it reminded me during the Rashad Bateman, when he had to drop, they were gearing it up to like, the announcers, they were gearing it up to make it seem like, oh, you know, bad ball, but like by Lamar. And then they showed in slow motion, like, yeah, you know, you want to see that ball. I probably get caught by the receiver. Yeah. That was a
play.
I was like, come on. Come on. That's when you got to catch.
They want a little better, but oh, shoot. Oh, actually, there was a tray over there. I know. It's their frustrating team. It's like one of those things where it's like when your strengths just don't become your strengths and they're just outright weaknesses. It's like, what happened? Like you said, they got to go back to the drawing board. You're not scoring in the red zone with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, which was going for like 7 yards a pop last year. What happened? Okay, we got to figure this out. But like I mentioned, Steelers, driver's seat in the AFC North. They're a funky team too. But I do think the run game has some nice moments, even though they didn't get to it today. Aaron Rodgers and DK can have their moments as well, and the defense can have their moments. We got Jalen Ramsey nailing some guys, and I think their front can have some moments too. Like, they can stifle it. Who cares in the AFC? It's everybody's life in the AFC. Just make it to the dance. That's how it's going right now. Who cares if the quarterback doesn't throw it over the middle and just chucks go balls? Whatever. Woo! Just as long as you're decent enough, it's live in the AFC. All right, low number three. This is kind of, we had to squeeze this one in here. I feel like just like sausage this one in here. The Falcons are officially eliminated from playoff contention. Their pick is sitting in the top 10 at number 9 going to the Rams. They lose to the Seahawks 37-9. It was a little frisky early and then just got way away from them as the game went along.
Thoughts? Yeah, that third quarter is
yours, Charles.
Pretty bad. I mean, I thought you'd be alive.
Chronological here.
Since Michael Penix have gotten hurt, I watched two drives of Falcon football today. I watched a couple drives in the third quarter of that game because I was confused. Like, why is this game tied? I just kind of hit the eject button on the season because. What's here? What's here? What am I supposed to be excited about? We got a lame duck head coach. The quarterback just had his third ACL tear. He's like his fifth season-ending injury in the last 7 years. Your first round pick belongs to a Super Bowl title or a Super Bowl contender who you play on Monday Night Football on week 17. And since you just lost to the Jets last week and you lost 37-6 to the Seahawks today, I don't know how I can confidently say the Falcons win another game this week or this season. So, like, you could be looking at a scenario in week 17 where the Rams are punching in, like, potentially a home game in the playoffs plus a top 5 pick for themselves with the same win. Just really embarrassing stuff. I don't know, because people ask me, like, well, what's next for the Falcons? Man, I don't know. Like, what are they going to do? Like, you're going to go sign some more vet minimum free agents again with your no first round pick, no cap space, haven't even cut Kirk Cousins yet, haven't asked. Like, all right, like this is done. And but the what I think at least there's been like a sense of clarity, I think, that has hit the fan base recently. It's like, if you don't get that 2027, what's probably going to be a top three pick, right? You're cooked until the end of the decade, bro. So I'm not going to sit here and watch these games. Not until we have a new head coach and a new front office. Because like this is first, like, first grade kindergarten crap. These guys stink, and there's nothing to play for. Like, bench Bijan for the rest of the season. Don't let Drake come back from injury. Put Kyle Pitts on ice and extend him, please. And then maybe we can talk about, like, negotiation. Yeah, he was great today. He's been good this season, even though people still like making fun of him because he'll drop a pass every once in a while, and somehow that negates all the good stuff that he does that keeps his offense, like, semi-float when they have absolutely nothing around him. So, yeah, just a really bad, useless season from the Falcons that is going to get you absolutely nowhere. But that Week 17 game will be absolutely hilarious if they lose and they get the Rams a top five pick.
Yeah, I don't have much to add here. I just have
there's nothing here. They don't even have money to sign free agents.
When they signed Penix, drafted Penix, we're not going to be drafting this high anymore. So that's why we got to take a quarterback right, now.
Because the Rams are.
Then the Rams are.
The Rams, they're not. The Rams are doing it. Yeah.
I don't know. So you're still right on that.
Congratulations.
You kind of nailed it. I want to see what they do with the people in power. Like, there's just so much. Because now, whoever comes, so okay, say they do fire Raheem, then it goes, all right, potential coach, we don't have a first round pick, and this is the quarterback we drafted with the old regime, and he's coming off a knee injury.
Who cares about
that? And we have no cap space to sign a guy that you want, maybe like a vet stopgap that you maybe want.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. People, like, Falcons fans ask me, oh, could they make a move for Mac Jones? And they can't afford to pay Mac Jones, even if he was going to be a free agent. Mac's going to command like $25 million. They can't do that. they're projected $14 million right now.
There's a middle class now for quarterbacks. And, it's not cheapies anymore.
It's not. And like, I was looking at their cap table, though. They're like $14 million in projected cap space for next year. And that's before you get rid of Kirk Cousins, which is still going to be a pricey little penny. So, yeah, you know, it's over. It's just over. I can't believe people are still defending the James Pierce trade. I don't care how many sacks he's getting. He's playing 50% of the snaps. That's not worth the top five pick. That's crazy. Come on.
Right.
I know we've been down bad for pass rush, but not that bad. Get your standards back. Come on. Rise up against these fools.
I got not much else to add. I'll go Seahawks. I mean, honestly, when I did watch that game, it was like Darnold wasn't playing great to start, and it just didn't matter. Like that, but that's the difference in tiers from like true contender, because I could consider Seahawks up there, and like a team that wanted to be a contender, and it's just knocked them further and further back. Yeah, that's the difference. They can go on the road, not even play a perfect game, and win by almost 30. Like that's the big. You gotta, okay, sorry. I know you already went on the rant, but just like think, before they even drafted Penix, the Kirk Cousins signing was like their like the coup de grace. Like that was like hey, we did it. Like now we're pushed over the top now. And then just ever since, just none of it's made sense since then. I mean, don't have them shop before free agency. Don't collude like that. It doesn't work out for anybody. All right, wrapping up the show. Extra credit. We had some rookies battling in Cleveland. Yes, it was in Cleveland. The Titans win 31-29 and another wet game. The over-under for this game, I think, was 33.5. And both teams almost scored that. It was 31-29. Cam Ward finished with 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. Shedeur Sanders finished with 3 touchdowns and 364. Harold Fannin was unreal today. 8 receptions, 114 yards, 1 touchdown. That is a Football 301 / I would say especially a Charles McDonald favorite, Harold Fannin Jr.
Yeah.
He's a stud. Cam Ward had some hero moments. So good, I thought even on some drops. Tony Pollard had some great runs. Kind of entertaining game, actually. It was pretty entertaining. This actually got a quad box for me, a multi-box for me for the whole thing. But any thoughts on the extra credit game?
First of all, Harold Fannin has a chance to get 1,000 yards this year, which I'm not sure people are realizing how ridiculous it is. He had 100 yards today, so that could put him over, I think, about 700 for the season with a month left. That puts him at over 700.
He's got a shot.
He's got a shot. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Where's he at right now?
619.
619?
So okay, he's got to go bananas the last 4 weeks.
Okay, so that's including today. But still, okay, but still, point stands. I mean, you're a third-round tight end on one of the worst offenses that like I've seen in quite some time. And you're still putting up these numbers like in an efficient manner. And he's getting like the best player on the field week, too. Seriously, like he is a tank when he gets the ball in his hands. So
yes,
that was fun. The Browns offense, like in general today, though, like Shador had a nice throw on the 60-yarder. You know, again, there's another week where like Stefanski had a great screen game. Like they had another huge screen explosive to Judkins. And then, you know, like once halftime hit, man, like the Browns offense, they went a long time without doing anything. Basically until the last 5 minutes of the game, they were just, they were getting nothing from their passing game. Like they're still able to having some nice runs, but passing game had gotten bad. Like, you know, hold on to the ball too long, the usual stuff. These people who are like just nuts. Like you got a couple plays today, you know, and I guess you can be mad at for some reason for Kevin Stefanski for the 2-point conversion when like
Judkins
didn't watch the play, man. He forgot to pitch the ball. I don't know why he's gonna pitch. I don't know why you're mad at the coach for that. Like, I don't know. This should just become like MTV, like real life stuff for people. And I'm just glad there's 4 games left so we can get back to talking about the good teams. I mean, I've never seen this much time spent on like a backup quarterback for the Browns. It's really crazy. The adoration that this is getting, because I think when you stay with it for a little bit, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But Judkins on that last play, it was so funny to see. Like I don't remember the player who he was supposed to pitch it to, but the slow motion replay when he's just running past him, he's like got his hands out like, hey, give me the ball. And then you have like then you have Judkins, like he's getting to the sideline. And as he gets to the sideline, Judkins like, I forgot something.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I forget.
Yes.
Oh, I still have the ball. I still have the ball. And then he reverses field. Honestly, for where he was and how far he threw it, not a bad ball, but pretty good play on the ball by the Titans. But when they zoomed out and they showed it, dude.
So they had an
eligible offensive lineman like doing the rollout. Yep. He was covered by a DB, but so you're never gonna throw the ball to him. But it was so wide open on the backside because they had full chase by Titans, and then a perfect 3-on-3 on the backside. He's walking in 2 different paths. If you just pitch him the ball, how do you forget to pitch him the ball? It's the one thing you have to do. It's the only thing you have to do.
And
now we have to deal with all these crazy people who don't watch football and don't even like football. It's ridiculous. Come on. Quinshon, you did this to us. You did this to us.
Meanwhile, Myles Garrett got 20 sacks. He's got 20 sacks now. I didn't realize that.
That's happening on this team. That is happening on this team. Don't forget that. Yes. I forgot it. Maybe because of this crap.
Yes. Truly one of the greatest defensive seasons you'll ever see. As far as just rushing the passer and playing run defense, Myles Garrett right now. And that's really, this is what's going on with this team. And this team lost. The Browns lost. Titans won.
They did lose, yes. But I just need people to stay focused on like the things that are like actually cool that are happening here. Like Myles Garrett, the 4 games left, he needs three full sacks to break the sack record. He's got 20 sacks, man, through 13 games. We should not be talking about the quarterback situation on this team when they're about to pick. Like, they're slobbering at the Mendoza performance on Saturday. You know? Like, that's a part of the process that we're at here.
But the brain's reset overnight. You know this. The brain's reset overnight. Forgot, like, it's 51st dates.
I was watching the game. I had a bunch of friends over yesterday watching the Ohio State-Indiana game. And they were like, oh, wow, like Mendoza really is as good as you guys say. I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, they watched one or two throws today. I'm like, no, Browns can't take that Mendoza stuff. Like, hey, it's December. It's December, guys. The draft was in April. You're about 8 months
behind. That was, that
was
a good game, by the way. Ohio State, Indiana was a good game. That was two good defenses going at it, boy. Yeah. No, that was a fun game.
Julian saying, though.
I'm glad. Yeah. I know a Heineke when I see one. Yeah, I still like Mendoza. That was real good. I'm excited for the college football really playoff. I might have a special guest for
that. I don't know how you
could
walk away from that game thinking Mendoza's not the first pick in the draft. Honestly, like that was crazy. That was the Avengers, guys.
I know there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. Well, the Jets won. They have the pick seven. But like, I really do like him for a lot of the teams that need it because he's just steady. He's just gonna bring competence. Like, it's not just this guy pie in the sky mystery box quarterback. It's like there's proof of concept. Like, this guy can, like, okay, what the ceiling is the big discussion, but it's like his ceiling. I think his floor is so high. He's just so efficient and so accurate. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he makes sense for these teams. Oh yeah, go for it.
One more thing on the NFL and draft before we get out of here. The race for the number one pick is actually kind of fascinating right now because, again, like last year, there are so many bad teams. There's three teams with a 2-11 record: the Giants, Raiders, and Titans, and then another five teams with 3-10 records: Cleveland, New Orleans, Washington, the Jets, Arizona, and the Falcons, who are sending. Oh no, excuse me, the Falcons are 4-9. So all those teams before Atlanta. I mean, that's eight teams within one game of the number one overall pick. And we've seen Arizona. Kyler Murray's not coming back there. The Jets need a quarterback. New Orleans probably needs a quarterback. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Vegas needs a quarterback. this is going to get actually kind of fun to see who can sprint to the bottom here because it's a log jam right now. Log jam.
I saw some Titans people I saw some Titans fans rooting on Mendoza, not because they like want him for Cam Ward, but because they want people to trade up for it so to their pick so they could trade back. And I was like, yeah, you guys are rooting for the exact right things, like understanding your quarterback's pretty dang good and understanding like, yes, yeah, move back just a little bit and get some draft capital because you guys need it big time. It was funny because you mentioned that. I was like, oh, what pick are they now? And I looked up Tankathon, which we have up here on the YouTube show too. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of double digits there. There's a lot of also lost seven, lost eight, lost five.
Yes.
Bad teams. Props, you know what? Props to the Dolphins. They've won four straight. They're 6-7.
They're fine. You know, don't quit, man.
Hey, Mike McDaniel's got them playing, man. Like, yeah, I thought they were left for dead. Yeah, I thought they were left for dead in week one when they got blown out by the Colts. I was like, oh yeah, they white flagged it. I mean, they're 6-7. I mean, so many of these other teams are just giving up. So yeah, props to them. Yeah. Entertaining week 14. Setting the stage for should be entertaining last month of the 2025 NFL season. Thanks for joining me, Chuck. We're closing out today. I'll be back on Tuesday with Matt with some more on week 14, some fun stuff, some more superlative stuff. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice. That's Charles McDonald. You can find him at 4verts on social media. Subscribe to us, rate us, follow us wherever you get your podcasts, or watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel right here. All of you that are watching us live, I really appreciate it. So make sure to like and subscribe us here. Really appreciate you all of that. Thanks to Stone, Austin Madison behind the scenes. Appreciate you guys as well. And thank you, Evan Douglas, for saying this is a favorite part of your Sunday. It's my favorite part too, hanging out with you guys. But thank you so much. See you guys on Tuesday. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.